Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 8th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 151, the third paragraph that begins with, "Now and then a serious drinker," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry H. will be reading the 12 steps, and Rhonda R. will be reading the 12 traditions. The readers of our text are Dion R., Kara L., and Laura R. The share ID for Tuesday, December 7th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,200. That's 18200. This morning's Wednesday, December 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 18,208, 18208. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie W. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Terry. Terry, can you press star one to unmute, please?
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you, Catherine, for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida, the grateful recovered compulsive overeater, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admit we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such persons, people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H. And Rhonda R., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Sure. Good morning, and thank you for your service. I'm Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
And thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 151, the third paragraph that begins with "Now and then a serious drinker." We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So good morning, Dion R. If you could get us started, please.
Yes, good morning, and thank you, Kathleen, and everyone on the line. I am Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. Now and then a serious drinker, being dry at the moment, says, "I don't miss it at all. Feel better, work better, having a better time." As ex-problem drinkers, we smile at such a sally. We know our friend is like a boy whistling in the dark to keep up his spirit. He fools himself inwardly. He would give anything to half a dozen drinks to get away with it. Mm-hmm. He will presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. He cannot picture life with alcohol. He cannot picture his life without alcohol. Someday he will be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then he will know loneliness, such as few do. He will be at that jumping off place. He will wish for the end. And when, of course, when I substitute all that alcoholism and the word alcohol with food, I can remember being in denial too, and can't still get there if I don't stay in these steps. Is, oh, I'm okay. I don't miss it. Or better yet, deny my feelings. I'm so sad. I'm so lonely. I'm so bad. I'm okay. I'm fine. work better, doing better. Life is good. Thanks for the information. And I know that's all my disease. It's just my disease, just in denial. And or I would say, I don't really feel bad. Right there, I know I'm lying. You know, don't even know I'm lying. Just big denial. And if I stay that way, even in recovery, if I stay in denial of my feelings, my life, or whatever, and live in a dishonest life, all those things will come back. I will wish for the end. I've done that. And with food, when food became so bad, I was like, why can't I give up this sugar? Why can't I give it up? Why can't I walk away from one peanut? Why? You know, and it was whatever my bench. I couldn't do it, and I felt less than. And when I felt less than, and felt I didn't feel connected to the surround, the people and the culture I was around, I was like, why they can do it and I can't? I felt different. And when I found out about Overeaters Anonymous, that was God giving me the key to another door to walk through, to find my healing, to find my tribe, to find the connectedness, all that, you know. And it has released every, you know, the jump. I remember I wanted to jump off whatever. It didn't matter as long as my children was okay. It's like, I don't care. But today, thanks to Overeaters Anonymous and working these programs, and my higher power, who I call God, he gave me this. And I live it. I try to live it more than shout it out. I used to shout it out with a banner. Today, I try to just live my life to let others know it does work. And to show God how grateful I am. I don't mind doing service and being honestly working this 12 steps. I carry the message of recovery to others and keep it for myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share and be on this road of recovery with y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion R. for in Ohio for getting us started this morning. All right, if you're just coming on, we're on page 151, the third paragraph, Now and Then a Serious Drinker. And who, let's see, I just want a reminder, although we do value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this reading?
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Maria T.
Maria T. Anyone else?
Lydia,
Okay, we've got a lot of background noise. Is that Lydia? Lydia, what was the initial of your last name?
T
is in Tom. Okay, I'll get it later. This is okay. Let's start with these three: Danielle W, Maria T, and Lydia. I think it was T. So go ahead, please, Danielle.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Danielle W from Southern California, gratefully recovered one day at a time. This paragraph for me speaks about the progression of the disease, which I really didn't understand. Things get worse, never better. And that coupled with my delusional thinking really put me in a place where I couldn't see what was really happening. You know, I was getting sicker and sicker mentally, spiritually, physically as my disease took over, but I couldn't see that. And I could fool myself for a while. You know, I would vacillate between you know, it doesn't matter that I'm in an unhealthy body. I'm going to learn to love myself where I am, to, you know, restricting to the point of exhaustion, you know, all of the things that we do to try to wrestle control from a disease that we're powerless over. And I would fool myself and I would tell everybody I was fine and I'd have hope each morning that today was going to be different. But things just progressively got worse and worse and worse until I really couldn't even imagine my life with the food or without it anymore. You know, this sense of loneliness and defeat and hopelessness overcame me to the point that I had the gift of desperation. This, you know, not being able to live a full and happy life and have serenity just wears you down day after day after day. And, you know, by the end, I just couldn't do it, not one more day. And that was the turning point for me to reach out for help and to see recovery in my fellows, to have hope because I could see it in your lives, and that I was finally ready to let go, to give up. I had run out of ideas, and I was able to just give it to God. And with that, miracles happen. This is such a beautiful program. I feel so lucky to get to come here each morning and be with all of you and walk this path. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Danielle W. in California. And Maria T., go ahead, please. You're up, followed by Lydia.
Hi, I'm Maria T. from Norway. And, you know, this paragraph shows me the progression. Yes, I agree. The disease when I'm actually not, when I'm not recovered. And when I'm not working my program, when I'm not following the directions, when I'm not, you know, when I'm resting on my laurels even, when I'm in the program and when I'm recovered, you know, I came into OA many years ago, and over the years, you know, I saw the progression and I could see how much, you know, the lies I would tell myself and the excuses that I could, and, oh, well, you know, if you have my life and da-da-da-da-da. And then I came in, I found a vision for you last year, and, you know, I got recovered, and then, you know, slowly, slowly things started to slip. And I started to, you know, not weigh and measure, not, you know, eat a little bit more of this, and then the denial started to kick in, and the mental twist, you know, the mental twist starts to tell you, oh, well, it's okay, you know, I can have a little bit extra of that, and I'm still abstinent, you know, I'm not eating that, and that is actually when I'm working my program, and I stop, you know, being honest, I stop being rigorously honest, I stop spending time on my higher power. That's all about the mental twist, that's getting me more and more into the disease. The disease is taking more and more over in my mind. And today, you know, now I'm back to being recovered. I can really see that really clearly. And, you know, that tells me that I have to keep focused, you know, making that decision every single day to follow the program, to do what I have to do to make sure that my mind is not falling into that denial, that state of denial, that insane way of thinking, you know. So I'm just really grateful today to be living in the solution, and but I also have to remember that my disease is also still progressing even if I am recovered. So thank you for letting me share, and with that I'll pass.
Thank you, Maria T. in Norway. And Lydia, you are up. And we'll be taking some more names after Lydia. Lydia, what's the first initial? Is it T as in Tom?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is Lydia T. Gratefully recovered in Marquette, Michigan today. I haven't shared on this meeting in quite some time. But this paragraph has, you know, has a lot of meaning to me, the jumping off place. You know, I remember hearing this paragraph read. I was a speaker in another fellowship at a meeting, and the speaker before me, this was about 12 years ago, shared on this paragraph. And it wasn't the first time I had heard it, but it was the first time I heard it in the way that I needed to hear it. And for me, it took me quite a while to get to that jumping off place with food. I had been there in other aspects of my life, and it was a little over 3 years ago, and I was at that jumping off place. I couldn't imagine my life staying in the food, and I couldn't imagine my life without it. And that was a place I needed to be right then and there, and nobody could have made me get there any sooner. I couldn't have got there any later. It was just the way it was supposed to be. And I'm reminded daily that I don't have control, and I'm lacking the power. That's what, you know, that's what my problem is. I don't have power, and I need power. And when I'm at that jumping off place, that's actually good news, because I'm out of ideas. And as long as I have ideas, I tend to get, you know, in trouble. And that doesn't work out so well for me. And so today, because I continue to live the steps, I work them to the best of my ability. You know, I'm definitely not perfect. I am, you know, I do have abstinence, but I'm not perfect in my spiritual program. I don't think anybody can be. I continue, and I don't want to end up at that jumping off place anymore. I want to know that there is another way, and follow what's God's will for me, not what's my will for me. And that's what I have today. Thank you so much, and I pass.
And thank you, Lydia T. in Michigan. All right, who else would like to share on the third paragraph, page 151, starting with now and then a serious drinker who hasn't shared in the last 3 years?
Kathy Z.
Noelle E.
Janet
Kathy Z.
I'm getting a lot of feedback and echo for some reason. Who came in after Noelle?
Kathy Z.
And I think there was someone between Noelle and Kathy. And if not, just give me your name if you're ready to share on this paragraph. Okay, I have Kathy B, Noelle E, and Kathy Z. So we'll go with those.
Sarit L. Yeah, and you had mentioned the page. Do you mind to mention it again?
It's page 151, the third paragraph.
Thank you.
Okay, here's who I have. I have Kathy B, Noelle E, Kathy Z, and Sarit L. Is there anyone else that wants to go in the sign-up?
Lynn D.
Say the name again.
Lynn D.
Lynn D. Okay, thanks, Lynn. Alrighty, let's stop there. So Kathy B, go ahead, followed by Noelle E. Good morning, Kathy. Star one to unmute, Kathy.
Maybe this is me. This is Kathy Z.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service. I'm from Duval, Washington, and very grateful to be listening to this meeting this morning. And, gosh, I love this meeting. I love you guys so much, and so grateful for the recovery that I've found here. From this paragraph, I remember that I was at that jumping off place, and it'll be 2 years ago in April. And I kind of came into program backwards, because there were so many things happening in my life that I could not control, that were so painful and difficult, and I was so worn out that my behaviors, my food behaviors and other behaviors were taking over and just taking me down. And I just could not control anything. My food, my life, nothing. I just had no power, no control at all. And I was desperate, because I knew that if I didn't do something, I was going to die, or someone else was going to die. And I have not been back in that place for almost 2 years, and I'm so incredibly grateful. And it's because of this program and working these steps. And these steps the purpose of these steps for me was to create this spiritual awakening and this beautiful relationship with my God. And my God is who saves me. My God is who transforms me. My God is who is giving me some of his thoughts that change me and change my thinking. And to this day, I crave that time with him. And so I know that if I stay spiritually fit, that I will be able to stay in this place of abstinence and recovery and be able to help others. But I will also be able to live my best life and be present for others. And if I do not stay in this relationship with God, this ever-changing, ever-growing relationship with God, then I have no purpose. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be so dependent on God that way. And I would not have found that if I did not and do not work the steps and am part of this program and have laid down my control and my power and given it over to God. And so I'm very, very grateful for that this morning. And I wish that for everyone on the line. Just keep coming back. Keep working the steps. Keep seeking God. He is the answer. He will transform you and transform your life. And he will help you every day along your walk as long as you seek him and put him first. Thank you so much for letting me share. I appreciate you all. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kathy Z. in Washington. And Noelle E., you're up, followed by Sarit L. Go ahead, Noelle.
Hi, this is Noelle E. from Louisiana. I was really moved by that last year. Thank you very much, everybody, for your service on this line. You know, I'm the line that's standing out to me in this paragraph is like the boy whistling, because I can relate to that, not necessarily in the food, but in the mind. I could find any spiritual, Christian author or feminist speaker or whatever that I was just like, oh, this is how I'm thinking now. You know, like they were just directing my thinking and who I looked to identify myself. And it was just constantly like every year it was someone new, usually someone about 10 years older than me who just, then without the knowledge of who I was, it was just like someone who had what I thought I wanted, and I was going to try to do whatever it took to get it. And I guess in the middle of that, there were like bouts of good diet programs or whatever. But regardless of the allergy of the body, it's disease thinking, And I just am so lucky to be just so powerless to it every day because it just keeps me looking up, looking forward, looking sideways, whichever direction your higher power is. For me, it's usually inside or up in a bird. And I can't imagine, I keep just thinking about that girl at a Christmas party. This time of year is like really making me think of it. At a Christmas party a couple of years ago, just talking about this new way of thinking that I found based on this person and selling it. I mean, walking advertisement for what I was doing to change. And now I just get to be with my higher power. And, I went to a party last night and talking about all the things I could do to go, and maybe take my own starch with me because there was eating there or whatever. And I just got down to it and I was like, well, I take higher power with me. And that's all I need. And thanks for letting me share, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you, Noelle E. in Louisiana. And Sarit L., you're up, followed by Lynn D. Good morning, Sarit.
Hi, thank you so much for your service. And so happy to be on the meeting live with all of you. It's Sarit L. from Montreal, and recovering compulsive overeater. And I love this paragraph. There's so much inside it. We see here, I see it. You'll presently try the old game again, for he isn't happy about his sobriety. The old game, you know, and it's really insane. We continue going back into that cycle. We initially feel like it's a game. I initially felt like it was a game, and it was, and then it becomes more serious and more painful, and it affects more people, and it hurts more people, and it becomes more miserable. That, you know, just keeping on trying to get abstinent again and again, and binging again and again. And I was talking to someone last night how living in the food is, I'm not living. I'm just trying to survive life, and I'm trying to deal with life. And so I'm numbing out and eating and moving and doing the actions, but there's no spirit. There's no happiness. There's nothing positive about life. And it's incredible how the food will grab that away to create such a miserable life. And thank God, like living in abstinence and living in the steps, there's so much more color in my life today. And what the line says here, someday you'll be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Then you will know loneliness. I've known loneliness, you know, and being in program and then not, you know, running away and eating. It's like the drastic change of going from a fellowship to isolation is so, it's a misery. It's a misery because there's such happiness when there's the fellowship walking to support you, and such misery in being alone and in isolation. That and the last thing I want to mention is that on page 53, we see that we're faced with the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. And I relate it a little bit to the sentence, someday he'll be unable to imagine life either with alcohol or without it. Every day in the food, it's waking up to, will I not eat today? Will I eat today? And today, I'm working on so much more in my life and the struggles in my life, and asking, well, is God everything or is he nothing? Like, can he handle this or can he not? And I don't know if I'm making myself clear. Yeah, I'm going to wrap up. And, you know, I'm faced with the proposition every single day now of trusting God more and more rather than trusting the food. With all my decisions and my life. And thank you, God, for all of you out there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you, God, for this program. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarit L. in Montreal. And a reminder, we're on page 151, the third paragraph, now and then a serious drinker. So, and I'll take some more names after Lynn. So go ahead, please, Lynn.
Oh, hello. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. Thank you, everybody, for your service to make this meeting happen. So when I was reading this, it reminded me of, you know, I just kind of changed the words a little bit, but now and then a serious eater being on a diet for a while, they can say, I don't miss it all. We feel better, work better, have a good time, right? You know, the detox has happened. And then I'm sitting in the corner smiling because as a recovered person, not a dry person, I can see that mental insanity, right? The insanity of diets and binge eating and diets and binge eating and trying to find that, you know, diet of the month that's magically going to work for you. So I see this as a great opportunity, you know, to get that newcomer to relate to them, you know, like we all have those. We all feel like, you know, we're getting it or this one magic pill or diet or whatever is going to work. And it's not. And it's just really higher power. The more I can share my experience, strength, and hope in recovery with the 12 steps and a power greater than myself, the more chance that dry drunk or that dieter is going to get it, and it's going to click and make sense. So I'm so glad we're reading Vision for You right now. It's a great way for me to, it's the holidays and I'm feeling very like go, go, go. And it's just another reminder, gentle reminder for me that I can say no, I can slow down, and I can just keep on doing the things I do. So with that, I am grateful and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy in California. Okay, who else would like to share on paragraph 150, on paragraph 3, page 151, who hasn't
Marie
shared in the last 3 days?
Connie B.
Okay,
Janice,
hold on one second. The first person
Connie
before
B.
Kara was that
Marie
a Kathy?
B.
Did I hear a Kathy? Okay, so I heard Kara, Connie, Janice, and Marie. Anyone else? Actually, I'm going to stop there because that's probably all we're going to have time for. So, Kara L., go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, my fellows. Thank you for your service today. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovery compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I was listening to the shares and I was listening to this. And I love the, I don't miss it at all, feel better, work better, have a better time. And I have written next to that, definitely a high, right? When I was controlling my food and I was on top of the world because I felt I had control, I was seeking that power that I didn't have, right? And so I kept thinking if I controlled more, I would have that power. And then when I judged good with my food, that was powerful. And one says he fools himself. Inwardly, he would give anything to take a half a dozen drinks and get away with them. Don't you know, whenever I was on that perfect diet, whenever I was eating as I felt was clean and perfect and wonderful, I didn't want to do that, but I felt powerful doing that. See, I can go here and I can, you know, not eat what you're eating, and I'll just eat my little dry salad. And I felt a sense of power in that room, you know, and it was all elusive, right? It was all something that was going to cause me to crumble, right? It was, for me, it was, you know, like the difference between that feeling and the food neutrality I have today, the difference between trying to find the power within myself with this battery that's dying and plugging into a power greater than myself, right? I could have the same meal I had then next to people eating different things. And back then I would have thought, see, this is how I'm going to stay skinny. And today I might forget what I'm eating because I'm so interested in you. I'm so interested in the conversation we're having, you know, because I know I can't do that on my own. That's my higher power. That's the power I always sought in those diets and food plans and New Year's resolutions. I sought this power that I couldn't find there. And it wasn't until I was broken and ready to just say, I give up. I don't know how to do this, that I could find a power greater than myself and that I could turn to daily, that I turn to by minute, that I ask for my higher power's opinion on everything. How do you need this day to go? So I must my serve you. Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. God, what do you think I should have for breakfast? God, it's a constant dialogue. Because I know today that I am lacking in power. And that my life is so beautiful today with a power greater than myself, with my higher power that takes care of me. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. in California. And Connie, if you could give me the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Connie B. I'm calling from South Florida. B as in boy. Can I be heard?
Yes. Yes, you can. Go ahead, Connie.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
I don't get onto this line too often, but when I do, I love the shares, and I love just the message that's being shared from each of these beautiful fellows. And I feel the opportunity to just share my own experience, strength, and hope. Just having finished the holiday of Hanukkah, the Jewish holiday of Hanukkah, I find what was so miraculous is that I didn't even realize, I didn't have so much awareness around the actual abstinence miracles. I was much more focused on the sobriety within my life, the emotional sobriety within my life, which I see it as being a lifetime of growth and a lifetime of nurturing toward my emotional sobriety. I'm so grateful today to have celebrated, not that I'm comparing, but like Hanukkah is 8 nights long. It's a very, the Jewish lifestyle in general is like every week food. And I just am so grateful. I know this time of year is so rough for so many. And I resonate so much with so many of the shares. I also just resonate with the miracles and the promises that are coming true. And just to kind of close off my share, I have found that to me, the most personal gift that my higher power has given me for today is the compassion and the awareness of how much I have to offer for today and how loved I am, how wanted I am by my Creator, and how needed I am. And the food is just, not to sound cliche because I hear it so often, but it's just the tip of the iceberg of cultivating an intimate relationship with my higher power, which in turn is really that intimate relationship with myself, as I do carry my higher power within me. And I'm just so grateful to be cultivating that peaceful, that time.
No, you're okay. You still have a few.
Okay.
Go ahead.
To be cultivating this beautiful, peaceful, intimate relationship. And something that I have noticed is that if a thought, like a food thought, will come up, it's just a lack of safety. It's just my inner child wanting to feel safe again. And I'm really learning through this program just so many ways of holding myself, reparenting myself, and being there for myself in those moments of lack of safety, and knowing that
time, please.
Thank you. And knowing that I'm safe and that I'm okay. Thank you so much for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Connie B. in Florida. And I have Janice followed by Marie. And if you could both, when you come on, give me your first initial and the state. So go ahead, please, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Central Oregon. What strikes me about this paragraph is that there are two attitudes, one of recovery and one of the disease. Disease, denial, and dishonesty all start with D, and they all figure prominently into one another. In my family of origin, the attitude was all powerful. The response to any problem was, well, you just need to change your attitude. And that is hard work because it's changing an emotional state, which is based on a perception of reality. And it's not something I can do at anything other than a superficial level. I had a co-recoverer in the disease talk to me, and we were talking, and she was saying, well, I have this big problem and I need to change my attitude. Pause, dead silence. So it's God work. Denial and dishonesty are lifestyles. Addicts depend on a power greater than themselves. I depend on my higher power for any definition of reality because my senses of it are so warped. I have heard people talk about spiritual questions. What is the sacred question in your life? And I always thought, for many years, I thought it was what I asked God. Well, I have come to realize that it's every time God turns to me and says, so, now do you trust me? I have done some further reading on some sources on step 10 and 11 and 12, and their suggestion was that dishonesty is strongly linked to fear, and that resentment is more linked to selfishness. And it's an interesting idea, so I'll share it with you. My last comment is, when I was in denial, when I took my first visions fourth step, my sponsor read me definitions of dishonesty. And it occurs to me that I cannot be in denial unless all three of these are in effect. First, I have to be willing to tell myself untruths and say that they're so. Second, I have to want reality to be different than it is. And third, I don't tell the truth when the truth should be told. So I guess I have a huge struggle with dishonesty in my life. And I have found that the only way to truly deal with it is to hand it over to my higher power. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, Janice Kay in Oregon. And Marie, go ahead, please, and the initial of your last name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Marie B. from Texas, Central Time Zone. And so grateful for this meeting this morning and for all of you that we're able to get together. This paragraph, it just reminds me, I was thinking about this morning, especially the first couple of sentences. I don't miss it at all, feel better. You know, in the holiday season, usually between Thanksgiving and New Year's, I would march myself down to the local pay and weigh, drop money, get my little booklets, come home. And through the years in the beginning, I was able to maybe, you know, put a few days of healthy eating together. But as the years progressed, it wasn't going to happen. What I would do in these in this particular program was scheme to see how much I could get away with in using my alcoholic foods. I'll just say sugar because it is sugar. But it just reminded me of myself, you know, just marching myself down there every year. You know, and the program changed a little bit every year. So, of course, I was excited. But, you know, as the years passed, my disease progressed. And, you know, basically I was just giving money. I did not have any personal power left against my disease. And, you know, inwardly I would try to say, you know, willpower, just be strong, and, you know, here's your ticket, and, you know, and during the holiday season when everything's about gatherings and food, such a struggle. And I just compare that now with my life as a recovered compulsive overeater, and it brings tears to my eyes because I think of all the years I struggled trying to control something I could not control. I cannot control the obsession I had. I cannot control this, what happens to my body once I put that substance in my mouth. And I just compare my life then to the promises on page 84, which I am experiencing now. And I just can't even say without tearing up how much my life has changed and how much my life has been saved by this, because it was insanity, 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 insanity every year. Doing the same thing. Thank you. You know, in this year, I will just say one thing. Instead of spending that money on something that was never going to help me, one thing I did this year on Giving Tuesday is, you know, I gave OA a contribution because, and a monthly contribution, because I don't know what I would do without this program, without this community, and without God showing me the way and showing me the way through all of you. That's all I have. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marie B. from Texas. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kara L., would you please read a vision for you?
Sure. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.